everyone, and happy new year, and welcome back to the weekly Pitching In NPL show. I'm your host, Ben, and down the other end of the line now to help start the show, good and proper for 2022, it's Mr. James Hayes. T-Got's with us. Hello, James, how are you?
Evening, Ben, how are you doing?
I'm all good. So coming up this week, we're going to be looking back at last weekend's results from New Year's Day shortly. We're also going to be joined by a few managers as well, talking about their victories last weekend. Dennis Green at Grantham, John McGrath at Michelover, Graham Fenton at South Shields, and Warrington Town's Mark Beasley will be joining us. Plus, later in the show, we're going to be having a good old-fashioned fixture preview with the one, the only, Mr. Mark Carruthers, non-league journalist from the northeast of England. But James, welcome to 2022. How is it for you? Is it all right? Just the same as last week, isn't it, really?
Pretty much going off this weekend's results and everything that's happened. Well.
If I did give a title to the weekly shows, which I don't, but if I did, it would be entitled Well. Because, dear listener, last week, we were surmising on the monthly show, oh, it's a three-horse race, isn't it? No, we were all wrong. It's now a five-horse race because after last weekend's results and a couple of postponements, yeah, 3 points separating the top five. Firstly, James, before we get into the nuts and bolts of last weekend's results, what do you make of the title race all of a sudden?
I think you've missed Whitby-Tyldale out on that one now. I think we've got a six-horse race at this moment.
You know what, James? You're right. It's a six-horse race, everyone. And I'm an FC fan. It's a seven-horse race. Just 10 points separating the top seven.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, it is brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, last thing from what we were saying last week, and the results going each way, and a couple of late goals everywhere, and the table's completely shaken up at this moment in time too, not just at the top end of the table. You've got to look down the opposite side as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, let's get into it then. First thing we have to say is there were a couple of postponements. We are recording this show on Wednesday this week. The managers' interviews tend to be on Thursday and Fridays in a week. Mark Rovers' bit of the show, that's been recorded on Thursday. So we just don't know the lie of the land with regards to COVID and the weather as we head towards the weekend on this show. So do take what we're saying about this weekend's matches with a pinch of salt. Especially if it's Froster. But anyway, yeah, there were a couple of postponements last week, and Nantwich Town against Witton Albion and Gainsborough Trinity's match with Matlock was also postponed, whilst the Bank Holiday Monday game, Ashton United against Stalybridge, was postponed, as was the midweek game, Buxton against Witton Albion. So that was all the postponements from last week. Despite Matlock's game being postponed on New Year's Day, they remained top by 1 point. Buxton 2, Stafford Rangers 3 was the result on New Year's Day. Me and you, James, were following this game from afar. And Stafford take the lead. Buxton equalise. Half-time occurs. Ash Chambers gets his second goal for Buxton straight after half-time. It's 2-1. You think at that point, Buxton are sailing. As the game progresses and the afternoon goes on, doesn't look like Stafford are going to get back into the game. Then I get a goal alert with 5 minutes to go. Ethan Stewart has scored an equaliser. And then Jake Charles scores just before full-time to make it 3-2 to Stafford Rangers. Again, what an advert for the NPL by the looks of it.
Literally out of nowhere, Jake Charles got the winner. Obviously, losing the two main strikers is starting to show its effect. I know Jason Gilchrist has come across, but it might take a little bit of time for him to come in. So a great result there for Stafford Rangers. And again, them two late goals has just completely blown the league wide open. What a great turnaround that is for Stafford. And they just absolutely second half pummeled Buxton, especially in the last 5-10 minutes to get that win there.
Well, it's a fantastic result for Stafford Rangers. 1 point separating Matlock Town, the league leaders, and Buxton. Buxton have played a game more now. Then we've got South Shields. They've got themselves back into the title race, haven't they? I don't think they're necessarily out of it, but they did have a bit to do, didn't they, a couple of weeks ago? But it's all very, very manageable now. 2 points the gap. They do have a game in hand over Buxton as well. South Shields 1, Scarborough Athletic 0. Will McGowan there with the goal just on 23 minutes. And that was enough for South Shields to take all the points at Mariners Park, James.
Yeah, I mean, they've come off a bit of a bad Christmas there, really, for South Shields. But again, going back the last couple of seasons, looking at the record, they never really had the strongest Christmases thinking back as well. The year that never was, they had that little bit of a dip coming towards Christmas. And then the season before in the division below, they had that little bit of a gap when he got beat Scarborough and then went on a three-game losing streak. So December's not necessarily the best month ever for South Shields, thinking back at it there. But nice, good local win in front of a good crowd as well. Let's not forget that. It's interesting to point out on points per game as well. They're both books doing at this moment in time on that too. So they're right back into it.
Yeah, let's see the mood now at Mariners Park. And it's a big welcome back to the show to manager Graham Fenton. Well, Graham, a big thank you for joining us. And for the listeners' benefit, we're recording this interview now on Friday afternoon, long after we've recorded the actual show itself. So the breaking news this afternoon is the Michelover match that was scheduled for tomorrow has been postponed due to COVID reasons. So the most pressing question, Graham, is everyone all right up there at Mariners Park at the moment?
Yeah, everyone's all right, other than being frustrated at not being able to play and obviously having to isolate themselves. So yeah, just the way of the world at the minute, which I'm sure everybody's frustrated with. But yeah, people's health is the most important thing.
Well, sending our best wishes to those players and
thank you.
People affected by this at the moment. But I was going to talk to you about the Michelover game, but I'll touch upon last week instead and just how the league table's shaping up as we head into January now. And you've been third or fourth now for a good few weeks, but it's got awfully tight all of a sudden, hasn't it? I mean, what's your thoughts on the title race and where South Shields find themselves at the moment?
Yeah, it's all tight at the top, isn't it? It's interesting. I think, again, if you can kind of show a little bit of consistency and getting a good run, get some momentum, obviously put you in a good place. Because, as we've said all season, this is a tough league and, you know, anybody can beat you if you have an off day. So, yeah, it's, obviously, we've been through a bad run. We kind of got a little bit of momentum against Whitby and then Scarborough. And obviously, it's halted straight away with this, what's happened. And other teams seem to have done the same thing, where they've just hit a little bit of a brick wall here and there. So, yeah, it's all kind of congested and makes things really interesting.
Let's go back to the Whitby match on the day after Boxing Day, wasn't it?
And, yeah.
You know, Hooper's goal within, I can't remember how long it was, but it was seconds, wasn't it? It was a very quick goal. And then Whitby to come back at you like that at the end. I mean, that I think that tells us a lot about South Shields, but also a lot about Whitby and, you know, what they're bringing to this title race at the moment. But then to bounce back the way you did against Scarborough, a tough game, and to grind out a win like that, you must be delighted with it.
Yeah, Whitby was tough, particularly conditions. And look, obviously, we were delighted with JJ scoring two, and as I'm sure Whitby will with Jacob Hazel scoring two very good goals on their behalf. So, yeah, we felt like we'd maybe done enough to get the 3 points, but it wasn't to be. And then we knew it was going to be tough against Scarborough. You know, they've obviously got themselves on a good run. John has made a couple of decent signings, and they've got they've been in good form. So, yeah, we knew it was going to be tough, and we played pretty well first half. And then, like you say, we ground out the second half and managed to cling on at the end when they had a really good chance to get the draw.
And with that result and the way the other results panned out, like we touched upon earlier, I mean, the gap now between Matlock Town and yourselves is just 2 points. But we have to say the gap between Matlock Town and Whitby in sixth is it's just 6 points, which is nothing at this stage of the season. And as an FC fan, I'm going to throw FC in, it's only 10 points. But anyway, what's your thoughts on, obviously, we've got this issue now with this Saturday game against Michelover getting in the way of what you're hoping is a building of momentum. I mean, how do you maintain focus now? Because it's not just this match, is it? There's going to be training sessions called off and that kind of thing as well, I'd imagine. So how do you keep the momentum going in these trying circumstances?
Yeah, it's difficult. So the lads who are fit and available have been set some work over the weekend, so we're not coming in. We're just going to set some work where they can crack on themselves. And then we will be testing Sunday evening, and then we'll hopefully get back together on Monday for the lads who can train. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, like you say, it's just a case of getting some bodies back, and hopefully everyone's fitting well, and we can kind of prepare for the next game against Radcliffe.
Yeah, and looking ahead to these games, one game and all that, but I mean, your January is... I mean, everyone's January is pretty epic. I don't know who's in the fixtures, but the way they've fallen. But you've got Radcliffe, tricky game. Then you've got Ashton United away, and Ashton United aren't completely safe yet. Warrington away, which is a huge game. Witton Albion aren't safe. And then you finish the month with Matlock Town at home. So it's box office stuff, isn't it, for South Shields?
Yeah, look, like I said to you earlier on, there's no easy game. So, look, we are ultimately, I know it's the old cliche, we're taking one game at a time. So we now, with tomorrow's game being off, we've got full focus next week on Radcliffe. And to be quite honest, I don't really look more than two games ahead anyway. So we're... We'll do our homework on the teams who are up and coming, and as I'm sure they will, and we'll try our best to try and get 3 points.
I was thinking back to the season that never was, and I've got this memory. I don't know if it's true or not, so I'm glad you're here to confirm it. But it was all pretty nip and tuck for a while, wasn't it? And then you just got the afterburners on and just shot away. There's a chance that could happen, but it's looking like it's going to be ultra competitive and difficult for that to happen. But are you looking forward, Graham, to that challenge in the coming weeks and months?
Yeah, absolutely. We're that situation's obviously well gone, but we're hoping that we can put a similar run together where we can pull away from the pack. But we know it's going to be exceptionally hard. You know that everybody at the top end of the league is like you say, capable of going on a run and pulling away themselves. So we just have to look after ourselves and see where it takes us. Hopefully we can do a similar run to what Man City have done at the minute in the Premier League.
Well, Graham Fenton, manager of South Shields, I was going to wish you luck for this weekend, but the most important thing is take care of yourselves. Everyone at South Shields, send you our best wishes and all the best for the new year.
Lovely. Thank you very much.
Graham Fenton, the manager of South Shields, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. So 2 points separating the top three. South Shields leapfrogging over Bamber Bridge with that victory over Scarborough Athletic last weekend. That's because Bamber Bridge suffered a defeat. It was a big occasion, this one, and a really, really important game for both teams at Cantilever Park. Warrington Town 4, Bamber Bridge 1. Warrington there, really, really impressive, James. 4-1 victory. The gap now between Matlock Town and Warrington is just 3 points.
Yeah, I mean, you just need to point out there, Warrington top goal scorers all of Christmas has got the exact same scoreline against Witton Albion as well on the Boxing Day round of games. This is what we're expecting from Warrington Town. They've made the signings, just come into this festive period, and they're making it work at this moment in time. Bamber Bridge could have gone top of the table with that win themselves. So again, another reason why the league's just been blown wide open this weekend.
Let's hear more now about the mood at Cantilever Park. And it's a big welcome back to the show to Mark Beasley. Well, Mark, a big thank you for joining us and a happy new year to you. First things first, great result last weekend and a great way to start 2022 at Warrington.
Yeah, it was a good result, yeah. I think we performed well for an hour. I think Bamber Bridge are a really good side. They've got a really good manager, really good coaching staff. And I think, you know, they're a good force to be reckoned with against any team. So, you know, they were on top for the first probably 25 minutes and we didn't get to grips with them, the way they moved the ball really well, and they caused a few problems. But once we sort of got a little bit of a foothold in the game and started keeping the ball when we won it back, we managed to get a few goals. And then they kept going, to be fair to them, and probably could have had a couple more towards the end of the game. So it wasn't as convincing as a 4-1 sound.
But that being said, when you come back into the dressing room at 5 o'clock to see the other results, I mean, in recent weeks, we've been talking about that tussle with yourselves and Whitby Town for that final playoff spot. But the way the results turned out on New Year's Day, maybe we should be talking about a title race more than playoffs. I mean, what's your thoughts on how it's all tightened up all of a sudden?
I think the league is full of very good teams and very good players. I think anyone who expects a certain team to win the league or certain other teams to get in the playoffs is going to be made a fool of. In my opinion, we're at half a season. Some teams haven't even played half a season yet. There's a big, you know, you have a good half a season, you can be right up there. Or you have a poor half a season, you can drop right down. So I think it'd be foolish and to sit here and go, well, they're going to be up there or they might not be up there. I think everybody can beat anyone, like you keep saying, and I think the league's full of quality. And in my opinion, I wouldn't like to say who's going to win the league, I wouldn't like to say who's going to finish in the playoffs, because I think there's so much quality around. So I think you just have to just each week and see what happens to your own results. We're not a big follower of other teams. You know, you just concentrate on what you can do. You only concentrate on what you can focus on or you can affect. We can't affect other teams' games or other games. We can only affect what we do, and that's definitely what we tend to look at, and we always have done.
Obviously, Bamber Bridge, that is a six-pointer, isn't it, when it comes to the playoff race? And we touched upon last week just how many crucial games you've got coming up? I mean, it's already started, obviously, like you say, no easy games in this league, but FC United this weekend, that's a tough one.
Yeah, it's a really tough one. You know, on the day, they probably arguably play the best football in the league. I've seen them over the years, and they play some really good football, and especially at home, they score goals and they create chances. So it can't be any tougher, really, than going there. They're on a great run. I always knew they'd turn it round and be, you know, a force to be reckoned with this season. And I think it's as tough as game as anywhere to go at the moment.
Then, and as I said, you know, we mentioned about fixtures and that. We had James Gordon on the show last week, and we were talking about Warrington's particularly tricky January. And just for the listeners' benefit, Buxton away after FC away. Then you've got South Shields visiting. And then you've got Whitby Town away at the Turnbull. I mean, whoever's done the fixtures, obviously they don't know how teams are going to be lined up in league positions in January, but they've picked some crackers there, haven't they, in hindsight?
They have, but I said this to the local press last week. I think people keep talking about how big January is, but so is February, March and April. You know, leagues don't get won in January, or they don't get lost in January. You know, playoff positions don't get won or lost. It's affected over a season, so you've got to play everybody twice. And I know it sounds like I'm boring, but as I keep saying, in my opinion, you know, we played Ratcliffe the other week, who were in, you know, mid-table, and they were a really good team. So I don't think you can say, oh, we've got the, you know, they're up there on merit, them teams that you spoke about. So, of course, the game's going to be tough. But in my opinion, all games are tough. And I think it's a really, really tough league. And I think anyone can beat anyone. And if you look throughout the results this season, that's been proven.
Yeah, well, I mean, look at Buxton being beat by Stafford and Whitby being beat by Morpeth. So that just confirms it, doesn't it? But, I mean, Matt, last time we spoke, you've just been appointed as manager. How have you enjoyed it and get to this point?
I think enjoyment's slightly different. It's been different. Obviously, I've changed roles from what I was, and I've enjoyed the process of moving up one, if you like, moving up the ladder. But it's been good, yeah. Players have been, you know, fully supportive. I've got some of my own staff in the building now, and added to the already really good staff we had. So it's going okay. Things we can massively improve on, of course, and things we might change one or two things in the coming weeks. But it's gone okay.
But 4 months to go. To the end of the season, how much are you looking forward to it? Because, like you say, I think you're right in saying there's going to be a fair few twists and turns across the division in the coming weeks and months. So, how much are you looking forward to playing your part at Warrington?
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. The last few years, we've done reasonably well. We've got right up there, and you know, towards the end of the season, and hopefully that'll continue. We've got a really good squad. You know, we're hopefully going to add to it, and that'll give us a little bit more quality, a little bit more strength in depth, because we've got a few injuries like everybody else has. So we're looking forward to it. We're looking forward to all the games, and no bigger one than, you know, playing in a really nice stadium on Saturday at FC United, because it's a really good ground and a lovely stadium with a big crowd, and it's one you always look forward to, because it's not too far away, and it's always a tough game, and the pitch is always nice, and for me it's a really, really good game.
Well, Matt Beasley, manager at Warrington Town, a big, big thank you for taking the time at your Thursday night to come on the show. Really appreciate it. All the best for the month of January and beyond.
Thank you. No problem. Anytime.
Matt Beasley there, manager of Warrington Town, joining us on the Pitching In NPL show. So 3 points separating the top five. Whitby Town have dropped out of the playoffs following that victory there for Warrington, and a defeat for Whitby Town away at Morpeth Town. What can you say about this one? There's a lot of teams get beat at Morpeth Town, don't they? So I don't think you can read too much into it. It was just Whitby's turn to go to Morpeth, wasn't it?
Yeah, indeed. So again, with Morpeth Town now 7 unbeaten in the league. So they've got one eye on the FA Trophy next weekend as well. We've said it the last couple of weeks as well. Morpeth are going to be one of them teams to watch second half of the season. Whitby going to be a bit peeved out there, because obviously they've just lost their own unbeaten record there at the same time after a 6-game unbeaten streak.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because Paul Connolly said last week, what did he say? I can't even remember the exact phrasing. Sorry, Paul, but you highlighted the fact that Whitby never win the 7th game, or they never go 7 games unbeaten. So there's that to throw into the mix as well. We obviously would, on a normal week, hear from Craig Lynch now, manager of Morpeth Town, but I'm going to give him one more week, because as James says, rightly says, there's the FA Trophy match next week, and that seems the more appropriate time to be speaking to Morpeth. But Morpeth on an incredible run at the moment. They're 14 points from the playoffs, and they do have three games in hand over Warrington. So, interesting few weeks coming up and a couple of months, that's for sure, at Morpeth if they continue this run they're on. Speaking of runs, FC United now. FC United, 7 points from the playoffs. They were on a winning streak, James. It's now an unbeaten run after that 3-0 draw with Radcliffe. We mentioned earlier about the advert for the league that was Buxton against Stafford. I think we have to say Radcliffe against FC United was a bit of a roller coaster.
That was literally game of the season territory for that one there. FC United strongest in the first half, but as soon as it went 2-0 up in the second half, so of course FC United substitutions changed the game negatively. Callum Grimm came straight in, got a quick goal straight from the restart. Potential goal of the season there for Luke Navarro, and then this dispute for Radcliffe's second goal at this moment, let's mention. From what I've seen, it's a straight Campbell of Belford goal. And
sure. Right. Okay. Right. We've had this chat off air. I'm having it again. But this time, I'm recording it for legal purposes. Now, listen, James, right? Cameron Belford takes a free kick in his own half. It's a good free kick. It goes right into the six-yard box or the edge of it. And there, it's greeted by Jonathan Smith, who heads it. He gets a head on it, but he directs it past his keeper. It's an own goal. It wasn't going in. It's just... It was a good game.
Very good game.
Back to the matters at hand, though. Radcliffe 3, FC United and Manchester 3. So, FC, 7 points from the playoffs. That win for Stafford Rangers has clawed them back into things, haven't they? They're in eighth. 9 points from the playoffs. I have to go to Basford United because obviously Scarborough dropped points at South Shields, but Basford United, an incredible result for Grantham Town. Basford United 0, Grantham Town 1. What a result.
Late in the first half, they got the winner. Great day result there for Grantham, and they sent exactly what they needed, particularly with Witt and Nantwich not playing over the weekend too.
Yeah, and what that does for Grantham, they're 5 points from safety now and just 3 points behind Nantwich. They've played a few games more, really does put the door slightly ajar now. Let's hear about the mood now at Grantham Town. It's a big welcome back to the show to manager of Grantham Town. Here's Dennis Green. Well, Dennis, a big happy new year to you. And, well, a very happy new year to you. What a result that was against Basford. How was your afternoon?
Oh, delighted, mate. You know, to go away to a good team like that who's trying to get into the playoffs and keep a clean sheet and win a game of football. You know, we nearly got over the line in two of the previous three games, so it's finally good to get over the line.
You mentioned those previous games. Go back to the Gainsborough game and the Michelover game, where it was late goals, wasn't it, that saw you lose those 2 points? And that could have easily happened against Basford as well, because you scored relatively early on in the game. So how pleased were you with that side of it?
Yeah, over the moon, because like you just said there, in three of the five games of that, was 2-0 up against Michelover until the 87th minute. 1-0 up against Gainsborough until the 83rd minute, I think it was. And we never got maximum points. And even the game at Aston Calories at home, we did score 6-7 in the second half there. We went down 1-0. So we haven't got the amount of points we should have got on the ball. So to finally get away with it on Saturday has given us really good confidence.
We caught when you first took over, Dennis, just at the end of November. You were saying in that interview you're going to, you know, bring some players in, and that's happened. So how have you settled into the club over the past month? How's it been?
Yeah, it's been great. You know, the chairman's been great with us, the chair lady, should I say. You know, she's supporting what we're looking to do. We're trying to build a team to keep us up this year and try and do well next year. So she's supporting that. So slowly but surely we're getting players in. And I think with the four or five additions we've had so far, showed in the performance against Basford on Saturday. So hopefully now we can start picking up a few more wins and getting us out. We said, I think with the interview with you, that we broke it down into 2 blocks of 10, that we had to make up 4 points in each block because we were 8 points behind. And now we sit there that we're only 3 points behind them, which is now in front of us, and we've still got 8 games to go in that first block.
And those games coming up, I mean, if you could beat Basford, then, you know, on paper anyway, I know football's not played on paper. Radcliffe, Ashton United, Scarborough, FC United, you know, those four teams I've just mentioned there, they're going to be worried about you in those Saturday games coming up.
Yeah, certainly the next two home games, because we've got Radcliffe and Ashton that ain't too far above us. You know, like if we won two or three games on the spin, we'll be in touching distance of them. So they're in and around us, they're 6 pointers for us.
They're two home games, so we'd like to think they're two winnable games. So, yeah, you know, great opportunity for us to now try and get a couple of wins on the bounce to add to the game at Bayford. And then before you know it, we're out at the bottom three and we've got 16 games to go. It's all ifs and buts, but in our mind, that's what we're focused on, is to try and win our next two matches.
And Dennis, how much are you... Because we covered it off on the monthly show that if those, you know, points that you picked up or the Africa Coles game, you know, if you turn those into victories or draws, you'd be neck and neck, wouldn't you, with Nantwich and Witten? So you're not a million miles off. How much are you looking forward to January and February and potentially closing that gap?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like, when you join a club that's 8 points adrift at the bottom of the league, if you can survive, it's like winning the league or making the playoffs. You know, the boys are starting to sense that feeling now that we can do it. And all right, it's not the glory of the other end of the table, but to survive from the position we was in, I think there's going to be a very cheery, happy day when we're hopefully mathematically impossible to go down.
And last question, Dennis, just about the two matches coming up. You've mentioned it already. They are home games against Radcliffe and Ashton, who aren't too far away from you, as you said. How important is the crowd going to be, and you know, how important are these games?
Yeah, they're massive. You know, every game is difficult. Every game could change on a decision, whether it's the right decision or a wrong one. Could be a man goes clean through, sending off. Could be a penalty, sending off. Could be anything that can go against you early in a game. We've seen it a million times before. And you turn up to a game that you think you're going to have a chance to win, and before you know it, you're 1-0 down at 10 men after 10 minutes, and you're thinking you've got to keep the score down. So you can never count your eggs. You know, every game is difficult. But the way we've played in the last couple of games, you know, was pretty solid against Gainsborough, but it's been going quite well. And to win at Bayford, we're confident that we can do well on Saturday and well against Ashton. And if we did come out with maximum points, then the whole picture in the league would change.
Well, Dennis Green, a manager of Grantham Town, a big thank you for joining us. A big Happy New Year to you, Dennis, as well. And all the best for the coming month.
Cheers, buddy. Thanks for looking out for us.
Dennis Green there, manager of Grantham Town, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. So, Atherton Coles drew 0-0 at Lancaster City. Two teams there in mid-table land, cancelling each other out. We don't have that many 0-0s, do we? There's been 11 nil-nil draws this season, which is not a lot, as one magician used to say. A nil-nil draw between Lancaster and Atherton Coles. One last result to talk about from Saturday, and we mentioned how big that result was for Grantham Town at Baysford. I mean, Mickleover travelling to Ewan Fields and beating them by 4-1. Hyde United have been in good form recently. Mickleover, that's a brilliant result. And given Grantham's result and the fact Witten and Nantwich didn't play, psychologically as well, you know, would you rather have the points on the board or games in hand? I'm pretty sure John's going to say he'd rather have points on the board at this stage.
And I don't forget the fact as well, Witten and Nantwich was called off, the game between themselves was called off before Christmas. So that's going to be an even more, that win for Mickleover and for Grantham as well was even more important, because again, there's going to be drop points there. So with Hyde United, they're not exactly in the safest positions.
Stalybridge Celtic and Hyde both 7 points from Nantwich Town. But Nantwich do have games in hand, don't they? As do Witten as well. But fantastic results for Mickleover, who are now 3 points behind Hyde United. Hyde do have two games in hand over Mickleover. But let's hear now from Mickleover. It's a big welcome back to the show to John McGrath. Well, John, a big thank you for joining us and a Happy New Year to you. And what a result on New Year's Day. I mean, how was your afternoon?
Yeah, well, we actually played really well the game before against Baysford. The game itself, we scored at the right times. You know, we scored too early and then won just after halftime. And I think it was one of those performances and results that we'd been kind of threatening now for a few weeks. But it was a relief for me, for my staff and for the players, you know, and the football club.
And you know, when you go 3-0 up, that's not curtains or anything like that on the game, but it's a bit more comfortable than 2-0, isn't it? And it's straight after half-time, so that must have been a relief.
Yeah, it was important. It was a penalty. We got that bit of luck. Great finish by Mason Warren. And yeah, that 3-0 with, you know, 35 minutes to go, you know, all, it's not like you say curtains, but it kind of almost gives you a little bit of breathing room to rest a couple of players, because we had three COVID cases, we had, you know, four injuries, you know, leading into the game. So, yeah, you know, it was a relief more than anything else.
Yeah, and Phil Watt's scoring two goals as well. He's not scored all season, has he? And there he is.
Well, I said that to the lads a couple of weeks ago. I said, look, you know, we're not scoring goals, but, you know, sometimes we can't just focus on the centre forwards all the time. So, brilliant for Watty to pop up with two goals. And Pablo, his centre-half partner, got another one. And, you know, midfielder Mason Warren scores the penalty. So, you know, goals from all over the park is what I want. And thankfully, they delivered on against Hyde.
Now, that gives you a little four-point cushion now to the relegation places. And, of course, I do need to put this disclaimer in. You have played a fair few games more than everyone else. But, yeah. John, as you know, you'd rather have the points on the board, wouldn't you, at this stage of the season? What's the mood in the camp like as we head into January good and proper now? Because you're tied with Ashton. You're not too far away from Gainsborough. So, you know, if you can start to move up in the coming weeks and a month or so, then it doesn't matter how many games you played.
Yeah, that's, you know, we've now got probably three long-term injured players out now, so everybody else is back, which you've kind of seen in the results recently. And yeah, we're the teams around us, we are earmarking to drag them back in, to go ahead of them, and to push on. You know, we know as a squad, we've kind of shot below where we should be this year. But, you know, we've got 16, 17 games left. Yes, we've played more games than everybody else. But points on the board is what it's all about. You know, those teams are going to have to play Saturday, Tuesday, when, you know, when COVID hits seasons and injuries might take part. So, yeah, we're in buoyant mood. You know, I got trained last night. Our game tomorrow is called off, unfortunately. But yeah, we're looking forward to the season ahead now.
Yeah, the beauty of doing this show, the way we do, dear listeners, the fact that the main show's recorded on a Wednesday, so we don't know anything about the weekend's matches. Then our preview, something often is recorded on Thursday, so when we get announcements like Saturday's game between Michelob and South Shields is off, yeah, we get to discuss that with the managers on the Friday, but not related to the show we've actually recorded. That does mean that, obviously, Saturday's match is off, John, but you've got two big matches coming up, and to say the 6-pointers is it would be an understatement, wouldn't they? Nantwich away and Witten Albion at home for the rest of January. Is it beneficial South Shields is off? I don't know. I mean, it means that you can turn your attentions to these more winnable matches, let's put it.
Yeah, we don't fear anybody in this league. You know, we want to play everybody. We know we've got to play everybody twice, and you know, the big teams, the teams that are up there in the playoffs, you know, they've got things at stake as well. So if you look at it one way, yes, we wanted to play, but obviously it gives us another week to get more players back fitness-wise, get some more minutes in their legs, maybe playing reserves or training games and things like that. So it's not an understatement when you say that they are 2 6-pointers. So, you know, we'll prepare as best we can for those two games and hopefully come out the right side of 3 points in each game.
And final question, John. Obviously, no game this weekend, but how much are you looking forward to the coming weeks and months, and what's your expectations and your hopes for what's possible at Michelova now?
Well, our remit, well, my chairman's remit at the beginning of the season was just to stay in the division. You know, we know we're a small club. We know last year we were shooting way above our average. So chairman's remit this year is to stay in the league. You know, it always has been. We've got a new 4G Astro pitch. Things off the pitch are going really well. We've got our full-time academy, which is producing good talent. So we're a club moving forward, small little steps. And you know, it's my job to oversee the whole club. But my main job and main priority is to keep Michelover Football Club in the Northern Premier League. And I'll leave no stone unturned to achieve that.
Well, John McGrath, manager of Michelova, a big, big thank you for taking the time out of your Friday to come on the show. Enjoy your weekend, John, and take care.
Thanks, Ben.
And have a good new year.
Cheers, pal. Thank you.
John McGrath there, manager of Michelova, joining us here on the Pitching In. NPL show. And that's it for our results roundup. Mark Carruthers, non-league reporter from the northeast of England, will be joining us in a second or two. But James, we mentioned it at the start of the show, just about COVID and the weather. Social media, really, really important. Do check the social media channels before setting off to your match on Saturday afternoon. James, what are the social media channels for those people who are unaware?
So on Twitter at Northern Premier League, official Northern Premier League on Facebook and on TikTok, and on Instagram at official Northern Prem.
Well, James Hayes, big thank you for joining us, and you have a lovely weekend, my friend.
Yes, thank you.
And a big thank you to James Hayes for joining us on this week's show. But it's now time to look ahead to this weekend's matches. And before we do that and welcome Mark Carruthers, I should say this bit of the show is recorded on Friday, because as we've been recording this show on Wednesday and Thursday this week, we have had some breaking news, and that involves Basford United. And it's been announced that Matt Clifford, Liam Hearn and Wayne Scott will assume first team managerial duties effective immediately. And all three of them will work under the new director of football at Basford United, that's Steve Chettle. Now, we'll have more on that news on next week's show, but I'm just here talking to you now to highlight the fact that this bit of news, this bit of breaking news on Thursday night, happened after we recorded the show this week, which includes this next bit, which is a fixture preview with the wonderful Mark Carruthers, non-league journalist from the northeast of England. So, with all that in mind, it's now time to hand back over to me in the past with this week's fixture preview. Hello, Mark, how are you?
I'm very good. All the best to everyone listening. I hope you all had a good Christmas and looking forward to getting back into the swing of things.
We should say we're recording this bit of the show on Thursday. Some of the managers we've already interviewed. We've interviewed a couple of managers in the future on Friday. Very, very complicated. But what we're trying to tell you is, don't go off what we're telling you on this week's show about the status of these games. Check Twitter, check social media, check the npl.co.uk before setting off to your match on Saturday. But fingers crossed, COVID and the weather and all that don't get in the way of these matches, because the league table, as we've already discussed on the show, is really shaping up to be something pretty exciting and really, really interesting, that's for sure. So without further ado, let's get into it. League leaders Matlock, 3 points separating Matlock and fifth placed Warrington Town, with Buxton, South Shields and Bamber Bridge all in a nice little Northern Premier League sandwich there in the playoffs. Matlock Town this weekend taking on Ashton United. Keep on winning. That's the message, isn't it, for everyone in the top six and just outside at the moment?
It is. I think there's possibly a few doubts about Matlock if they could sustain the great start they've had, wasn't there? When, you know, they had that little spell of losing to Whitby, drawn against Morpeth, and then that defeat against Stafford. But they've bounced back brilliantly since then, to be fair. You know, they look as if they're kind of back on track now. And I think they're going to be a real force to be reckoned with. There's obviously going to be new additions as well, by the sounds of it. They'll need probably more strength and depth now to see them through at the end of the season, but they're definitely right in the mix. I don't see anything changing between now and the end of the season.
Well, that's a big game. At the same time, the team in second, Buxton, they'll be travelling to Bamber Bridge. Both Buxton and Bamber Bridge suffering defeats last week. It was the nature of both defeats, so it's a weird one, isn't it? How does Jamie Milligan and Steve Cunningham bounce their teams back from last weekend? It's safe to say teams like Matlock, South Shields, Warrington, Whitby, even FC United and Stafford will be looking at that game with great interest, because one team or two teams dropping points there this weekend.
There is, and I think the nature of those defeats last week would probably have shocked a few as well. You look at Bamber going to Warrington, and there's not too many times where they've been hammered this season, if any, and that was certainly one of them. In terms of Buxton, I certainly didn't see that coming. I know, you look at Stafford, they're having a very good season, but I don't think many people saw them going to Buxton and taking the point. And again, I talk about the manner of defeats when you look at when the two goals came, and the 85th and it was 89th minute, was it? It was Stafford. Yeah. Where it looked as if Buxton were going to get what looked a routine win, they've suddenly come away with nothing. And it'll be interesting to see the kind of psychological impact both of those defeats have on Buxton and Bamber Bridge. I still think Buxton have got too much quality in that squad to let things slip, and obviously they're going to have added to it already with another interesting signing from the league above. So it's going to be... That was going to be an interesting one. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a draw, which is a really, really, really boring prediction, I appreciate, for two clubs that are close in the table. But if I was going to be forced to pick either way, I think it would be a Buxton win. But yeah, I'll go for a draw.
Now, you could argue possibly game of the day is Bamber Bridge against Buxton. I think that's definitely up there. But also up there, this, and it's not just because I'm going to be watching it, but FC United and Manchester against Warrington. I'm dead excited about this game. As an independent, impartial person up in the northeast, Matt, what's your take on this game?
And you look at Warrington, barring that defeat at Scarborough, they've been in great form, haven't they? They look as if one of the form sides in the division. FC United, again, they've turned it around as at four in the last five, and then obviously that draw against Radcliffe as well. I genuinely feel this could go either way. Warrington, I think at the start of the season, everyone was talking about them really kicking on and challenging top end of the table. It's not a surprise to see them there. FC United, yeah, go back to when I sat beside you at South Shields and saw them that night. They were very impressive. It was. I think I've seen them twice this season with that Blyth defeat in the FA Cup as well. And on both occasions, really impressed me. And I think they've developed since that second game that I mentioned. You wouldn't be overly shocked if they got a win on Saturday, but I just got a slight feeling Warrington, with that momentum, with the motivation of, you know, possibly drawing level with the leaders, I think Warrington might just sneak that one.
Whitby Town, they're taking on Lancaster City. You know, they could, the goal difference is going to hamper them for this weekend. But after the Morpeth result last week, they need to get back to winning ways, and a home game's quite handy, I'm going to suggest, against Lancaster.
Yeah, I think that was the first defeat in 7 or 8, wasn't it?
I think I described it earlier, Mark, as someone has to go to Morpeth that week, and it was Whitby's turn. And I think that's how you have to look at it, really, isn't it?
It is, but I know we'll come on to Morpeth in a second, but it's not exactly the easy game it might have been earlier in the season, or might have seemed earlier in the season. No, I think Whitby, again, I look at their squad and I look at the calibre of players that they've got, and it isn't a surprise to see them top six. I know we seem to mention them every year. Could this be the year that they break into the playoffs? Could it be, you know, the year that they kind of deliver on the promise that they normally have? And you look in the squad, you look, they've got one of the best goal scorers, if not the best goal scorer in the division at the moment, in Jacob Hazel. They've got quality right through. Really impressed with the job the manager's done since he's gone in there. And I really do think they could be one that could sneak into the playoffs. I quite fancy them this weekend as well.
Yeah, we had our monthly show last week, and, you know, a couple of people said Whitby, a couple of people said Warrington. But is it the top seven now? Or do we go down to Stafford and Scarborough? Or does it all depend really on this weekend? Because if Whitby and Warrington win, then that gap between the rest of the division and the playoff places increases again, just as it was getting close.
Yeah, I mean, and the fact that, you know, the only sort of reasoning you could use for stretching that down to Scarborough and Stafford is you look at their game in hand. You know, they've got a game in hand on certainly Bamber Bridge and Warrington and FC United. So if they can get a win there and close that gap, then just puts a little bit of doubt in the minds of the clubs above them. If not, then, you know, it is very much probably down to seventh maximum.
Now, let's talk about those teams in eighth and ninth, because they've not got gimmies this weekend. Firstly, Stafford Rangers, they're travelling to Morpeth Town. It's Stafford's turn this week to travel to Morpeth. And Scarborough Athletic, they're hosting Basford. Basford last week was involved in the conversation of, you know, a dark horse, can they get into the playoffs? The consensus was they didn't have that much wriggle room. The Grantham result. But Grantham have shown a bit of signs that they were able to... They're a bit stronger than they were a couple of months ago. I think there might be a few more surprises from Grantham. But it's a tough weekend, this one, for Scarborough and Stafford, isn't it?
It is. It really is. And as we've just sort of alluded to, I think it feels like they've got to really keep that momentum up. I'm not sure either squad is capable of really narrowing that gap, but as I said earlier, those games in hand are huge, but they all rely on other clubs dropping points. And you look at the form of the vast majority of clubs above them, I don't see them doing that.
Well, that's the top 10. And let's go down to the bottom end of the table then, because I mentioned Grantham. Grantham hosting Radcliffe this weekend. All of a sudden, there's a what's the word on a cliff where you've got a little thing you could grab onto? It's been ages since I watched Cliffhanger. What is it?
I'm just going to leave you hanging. So
literally,
yeah.
Grantham, I think, can see a way out of the relegation zone, which I don't think a couple of weeks ago they could have. Grantham this weekend will be hosting Radcliffe. At the same time, Nantwich Town are taking on Stalybridge Celtic. You've got to suggest that both Grantham and Nantwich would like to see Nantwich win that game, because it makes Stalybridge a bit more closer. At the minute, I think Stalybridge and Hyde and Gainsborough, to a certain extent, are a bit away from it, but that can quickly change, can't it? So it really is a must-win game for Stalybridge, that's for sure. And that would really ease any worries if they've got in at this stage.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Grantham's last two results, and you know that win against Beresford and the draw against Gainsborough to give them a bit of a foothold to
foothold. That's what I wanted from you. Foothold.
couldn't resist. It has given them a bit of a foothold, a bit of a platform to try and get out of the relegation zone. And you know, again, what you're saying there about the results going their way, then you know, if Nantwich can get something this weekend, it just drags more and more teams in. It just ramps up that pressure again. We spoke about it with the playoffs, and that's what you wanted this season. If you are trying to get out, you just want the pressure increasing on other clubs around you and for them to experience what you're going through week in, week out. So it's a really interesting weekend at the bottom of the table. And I honestly think the longer Grantham can just stay close enough to the clubs above them, you know, you look at it, they've got 17 points. It's just that home record, isn't it? The fact that they just can't win at home, as simple as that. But I do feel they have given themselves a chance, but they are kind of, again, relying on snookers from those above them.
And they're going to get a result this weekend, which is going to be favourable, because Witten Albion taking on Gainsborough Trinity, you know, the gap between Witten and Grantham is 5 points. The gap between Witten and Gainsborough Trinity is 4 points. The big question mark is Witten, really. I mean, they've had COVID issues, which doesn't just mean games postponed. It also means training sessions can't happen in the way that Carl would like. So it's just going to be a big journey, isn't it, for Witten this weekend, I think?
It is, and when you look at the results that they've had recently, you can see that it's having an impact. I mean, there was one point, I think, where they win three in a row, even, where you thought, they're just starting to get out of this now. And then there was the two defeats against Scarborough and FC United, and just felt as if they got dragged back in. And then, obviously, the last two games have been a bit of a nightmare. So I still think Witten, with a full squad, have got more than enough to move away from that bottom two or three, but they're going to need to get a win quickly, otherwise they'll be firmly in there.
Look at the games in hand, though, they've got. I mean, they've got six games in hand over Mikulov, who at the time of recording are 2 points ahead. But games in hand, points on the board, you decide. And just one other fixture to bring you for Saturday. And it's Hyde United travelling to Atherton Coles. Atherton Coles, I mentioned Beresford, but Atherton Coles, you know, they're only a point behind Scarborough and Stafford Rangers. They're 3 points behind FC, but they do have a game in hand. They're not completely out of our playoff chats, are they? And for Hyde United, same as what we said with Stalybridge, a win would be beneficial, I'm going to suggest, for morale and making sure they stay out of any relegation chatter in the coming weeks.
I don't think they are completely out of the chat for the playoffs, but they are on the brink of going out of it, as I said a little bit earlier. When you look at the two clubs above them, I think it's a very similar conversation, just without the games in hand. One we haven't mentioned, I know we kind of alluded to them earlier on, is Morpeth. But again, because of the poor start of the season they had, those games in hand that they do have, and there is a fair amount of them, let's be honest. I think I'm right in saying that they've got as many as four games in hand on the clubs above them.
Well, they've got four games in hand on Beresford. They've got three games in hand over Lancaster, FC United and Warrington. I mean, I'm going to be speaking to Greg Lynch next week, obviously ahead of the FA Trophy, but they've got to be, it's got to be in the back of their mind that if they carry on, can they carry on though? That's, you know, there's COVID all over the place and there's, you know, this COVID can impact on player availability, you know, injuries, pitches, the weather. You know, we all remember when Morpeth had, I can't remember how many games in hand they had, but, you know, the weather did have an effect on them one season. So
it did.
I mean, and they've got an FA Trophy run potentially as well. Yeah. So, I mean, can they do it? Can they put themselves in this player conversation?
Do you know what? Given the turnaround, and Craig Lynch always points this out now, it's 2 defeats in 21 in all competitions. And those 2 defeats came against full-time sides, which was York in the FA Cup and Stow Shields in the league in the away game. When you've got that sort of momentum, I think you can even afford maybe 1 defeat. Not that they'd want that, but you know, because they've got enough momentum now to just carry on through that and get back on track. But can they do it? Yes. Will they? I think the next few weeks is key. They've got some very big games, including that FA Trophy game against Boston. I had a chat with someone up here. The one thing they do have is they've got a lot of home games. Obviously Stafford on Saturday, then they go to Ashton on Tuesday. And then they've got, five of the next 6 games are at home, where they play Boston, Buxton, Stalybridge, Celtic. Then they go to Basford, but then they're back home against Nantwich and South Shields. Now, because they've now got this 3G pitch at Craig Park, and because of that used to playing on it, and the fact that games more than likely, unless it's heavy snowfall, will get played, I can see them continuing this momentum that they've got. I think they'll win on Saturday, which again, if results go the way, will close the gap on those above them. It's just whether or not they're going to have that many games in a short space of time. And as you say, with things like COVID and injuries and suspensions, if they can carry what isn't the biggest squad, you know, will players come in? They may need that. But I think, should we call them dark horses for the playoffs? There's a chance that they could get in there. But I fear they might just fall short because of the size of the squad.
Isn't everyone below Whitby Town now classed as a dark horse because of the, you know, it's just the way the season's panned out, really. I mean, it's been that top six for the first half of the season, pretty much. And yeah, we'll wait and see. But, interesting times. Then they've got one of the games in hand, haven't they, in midweek, where they travel to Ashton United. And, we'll come back to this mid-table quandary on next week's show. Ashley United taking on Morpeth on Tuesday, Hyde taking on Matlock, Nantwich taking on Gainsborough, Radcliffe hosting Bamber Bridge, Buxton are travelling to Scarborough, tough game, and Stalybridge Celtic hosting Atherton Coles in what Andrew Snaith on Coastal County Radio would describe as a Greater Manchester derby. Now, Mark, just a final thought, really. I mean, it's... Because you were on the monthly show last week, but how do you think it's going to pan out? What's your midterm predictions for the top five? If I can pin you down at this stage,
you see, this is where I try not to let my northeast location hamper my predictions. I really think how do I put this? I think the top three, the titles between them, Bamber Bridge need to possibly strengthen again to stay in touch with those top three, because I can see South Shields possibly bringing in another player. Buxton have already done that, Matlock have done that. I think that strength might just take them away, plus they've got games in hand on Bamber Bridge and Warrington. I think you're looking at those three. If South Shields can get into a run of form with the quality they have, I'd possibly make them slight favourites, and the fact that they looked as if they were just getting left behind a couple of weeks ago when they had a little bad run. But the likes of Buxton and Matlock didn't really take full advantage of that, did they? They both got poor results during that time. So I think I'd make South Shields slight favourites at the moment. But there's a lot of... God, I'm sounding like I'm sitting on the fence here, don't I? But there's a lot of twists and turns to come. But yeah, at the moment, I'd stick with South Shields, mainly because I said that at the start of the season. In terms of the playoffs, I think you'd be looking at whichever two of Matlock and Buxton don't. Matlock, Buxton and South Shields don't win the title. Bamber will stay in there. Warrington will stay in there. And if I'm honest, I think that's probably it.
That is your top five.
The top five will be as they are in whatever order you want to put them in. But yeah, for me, South Shields will win it. And then Buxton, Barnwell, Warrington, and Matlock will be the playoffs.
There we go. Well, Matt, thank you for coming off the fence momentarily there at the end of the show. But Matt Carruthers, big thank you as always for joining us. Just a quick plug for your work. I think you're going to an East Division game this week. And obviously next week, it's all about Morpeth, isn't it? So how could people keep abreast of everything that's going on in your world up in the Northeast?
It is, yeah. I'm off to Hebburn Town against Sheffield on Saturday. And then next week, yeah, I'm at Morpeth for their big FA Trophy tie against Boston United. And keep it a date on my Twitter on MarkCruthers_. Although I should apologise, it is quite full of Premier League content at the minute because I'm doing some freelance work elsewhere.
It's fine. It's all good. It's all football, isn't it? It's all kicking around thing around a pitch. But it's good stuff. Mark Carruthers, big Happy New Year to you, my friend. And a big thank you for joining us. Have a lovely weekend.
Thanks for having me.
And a big thank you to Mark Carruthers, non-league journalist from the northeast of England, for joining us this week. Just a reminder, that preview there was recorded before the announcement that Basford United have appointed a brand new management team and Steve Chettle has been appointed as director of football at Basford United. Big congratulations to Steve on that appointment, and we'll have more on that news on next week's show. But that's it for this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. A big thank you to all my guests this week for joining me. Remember, for all the latest goings on from the world of the Northern Premier League, you can visit the website www.thenpl.co.uk. But I'm Ben, and you all make sure you all have a lovely and safe weekend. Bye-bye.